I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers. So, hope you like the new look here. We're trying our best to be professional. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Gil Lang to the show. Gil Lang is from Germany, which is a very, very important area that I think we really got to discuss. He's a private label seller himself and also runs the podcast Private Label Journeys. So, Gil, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to spend some time with you and your listeners, and I'm really happy to talk a little bit about Germany, about Europe, and about everything that's interesting, I hope.
Good. Yeah, everything that's interesting. I like it. Let's keep it broad here. So, Gil, tell us, first of all, the obvious first question is, tell us about yourself. You know, what's your background? How do you come to be selling on Amazon? And how do you come to be selling, you know, doing all the broadcasting that you're doing as well?
So, yeah, actually, I started selling on Amazon with a sports brand. That's nearly 3 years ago now. And I learned all about it on American podcasts. I was looking for different online marketing, online ways to make money online and thereby be able to travel around also if you like to, at least if you want to, you know. And I started doing that. And while I was starting to, with my FBA career, with my sports brand, together with my partner Thomas, we started also blogging and YouTubing and podcasting all around this, because there was no content in Germany. Everything was American. So that was the reason why we started this, and it turned out into the biggest German FBA community there is, actually, with 10,000 plus members. And that's how it all started. And right now I have two brands with two seller accounts that are under my supervision, that are mine. I also partnered up with three other companies, and I'm actually running an agency that is helping English-speaking sellers, either from Australia or America or sometimes England, to sell in the rest of Europe. So that's what I'm doing, yeah.
Great stuff. So obviously you've got quite a big range of experiences that you can draw on yourself and also your clients. So yeah, the first question is, tell us about Germany, because obviously you've got an experience of that is, you know, very valuable. First of all, why is Germany important, or is Germany an important Amazon market, do you think, for UK-based sellers or for Americans or for that matter Australians?
For sure it is. I mean, just from the size of it, it's the second biggest market, Amazon market there is. So that, let alone that, makes it really interesting. And compared to America, it's not that saturated. While in America, you would really either have a huge marketing budget, or you go really niche down. In Germany, you can still go for a little bit bigger spaces. And that's why I see a lot of people coming over here that are English speaking, because they still see opportunity with their existing products that are selling already in America. I think that's the biggest reason why everybody should think about it. And I also think, because like Europe in itself is a lot of Amazon markets linked together. Like England, you know that. England, Spain, everything is linked together. So while Germany's maybe not going to grow that much, that extensive as it did before, Spain, Italy, and France are still three markets that will, I think, grow a lot in the next few years, because Amazon will target them more and more. So yeah, I think it's just big potential.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot of things to unpack there. So the first thing to look at is just the sheer size of Germany. So I believe the statistics, something like, I don't know which year, it's 2016, that it was an $11 billion sales turnover in terms of third-party marketplace, or maybe the whole turnover. Yeah. So it's bigger than the UK, not hugely bigger, but it's definitely bigger than the UK. So now let's look at the second thing you mentioned, because there's lots and lots of things that you've said that I think are very exciting. The first thing is about the size of a niche that you can go for. Can you talk us through that a bit more with an example of a product you've sold, either your own or one of your clients?
Yeah, I can. I think I start with a product of my own. That's always the best stories, because I started in the sports niche, and I started with a jump rope, actually. So that's for some people that would be funny, because if you know the sport niche, then you know that jump ropes are nowadays, even in Germany, and I think probably also in the UK, are quite have a quite a big other people playing on that field. Let me say it like that. And when I started 3 years ago, that was not a problem because I was starting with this business model and I was looking at America and who was doing it good there. And I could easily start with the John Pope. So nowadays, that's not a not the case anymore. But still, if you look over the ocean to America and have a look at really good selling products over there, you can still jump in that market here in Germany. You know, so it's a matter of having a look around. And on the other hand, what you have to keep in mind is that also brings because the market is smaller. There are no crazy small niches that are having that just comes with the other one. So it's a kind of a package deal. You have to be you actually have to look a little bit broader and don't go all the way down the niche like you would maybe do in America and sell, I don't know, screws for something.
Yeah, screws for skipping ropes or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is a very, very interesting one, isn't it? Because when it comes to the product, right from the beginning of the process of creating a brand or even just trying to find your first product, if you're starting out, I think the question of how broad or how niche you go is a very interesting question. And my experience echoes your experience. I've had like the opposite problem where I took a product into America that was sold a lot, but was just getting it was too generic. Then I did a sort of niche down version of that. And that did quite well in America. And I brought it over to the UK and it got to something like the fifth position on page one in the UK. And it sold one unit a day, which was deeply boring after America. Well, it was selling like 20 units a day, you know, in good times, in bad times, maybe 5 to 10 units a day. On Cyber Monday, that one product did 103 units. So, I mean, you've got to get used to, if you start in America and you move to Europe, which is what I did in terms of Amazon, even though I'm a UK based person, obviously. You really have to adjust to the difference in the volume and the size of the market. But so what would you say, what's your sort of overall, let's talk macro to micro. Let's look at big picture before we then dive in some details. What would you say, if you want to sort of summarize it in say 3 points, what are the three biggest upsides to selling in Germany compared to America, which is, I guess, for most people, the normal comparison. And what are the three big challenges you have to overcome?
So the big chances you have is first, it's not as saturated for sure. Second one, the marketing services are also not as used. So like the AMS, all different AMS platforms you could use. And the third one is that just the sellers are not as aggressive as they would be in America. Generally, it's just not that further. They are still further, so they have all those crazy people. I don't know, the review game has changed, but still you'd find products with thousands and thousands of reviews. That's just not really there in Germany. So that's three good things. Three things you really have to look out is first, you don't want to just have a generic listing or some random person translating it for you that does not really have a clue about Amazon. So you need a combination of people who know Amazon and also know the language. So the language barrier is going to be a problem. Second problem is you need to strategize if the product is really, really makes sense in Germany. So not everything, like your example, not everything that maybe sells 20, 30, 100 times a day in America will sell in Germany because it's just a different market. You will have to take a look at that. And then the third part is actually all the regulations you have in Germany, you have to take care of. So this is also something special. In each European country, there are different regulations. You have to keep them in mind.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good summary. So I'm just having a look at those things and just reflecting back. So it's not so saturated is, I think, music to people's ears. And I think if nothing else, that's a really, really good reason. Just making some notes here because I need to structure my thoughts such as that. Yeah, sure. So it's not saturated. That's going to be music to anyone's ears who's been selling in America probably in the last 2 years. I mean, it's a tough environment now and not as aggressive as well. You know, that's, again, it's going to be easy to compete. And as you say, you do get those products with literally thousands of reviews in America, even post, you know, the apocalypse of October 2016, when they removed the ability to, you know, do stupid things like that, really. But I think that's kind of linked for me with the not just a language barrier, it's a cultural barrier, I think, because one of the reasons people are more aggressive in America is because, A, the consumers kind of need you to shout and scream in a place where everyone else is shouting, and B, the regulatory environment is different because the Germans obviously are quite strict about that sort of thing. So, and I take your point as well that, you know, it's, the language barrier is not just about translation, I think, it's about how you rewrite listings and all of that stuff. So let's get a little bit more into detail about that. And let's start from the beginning of the process, which would be the product research side of things. What would you say you'd look for in Germany that would be different from America? We've already talked about you can go for broader niches. Where would you go from that point?
That's the thing. You have to keep the BSR in mind. Well, maybe in America, you'd say, oh, it has a BSR of, I don't know, 3,000 or 5,000, that's selling 50, 100 a day. That would be a little bit different in Germany. And you have to have the numbers game in mind. It's just you have to have some knowledge of the German market or a good tool. So that's where you start already. So that's the starting point where it's quite different.
Yes, there's a very good point about the BSR. If you're used to using BSR as a tool for estimating the sorts of sales volume you'd have, then that could really lead you up the garden path in Germany. And by the way, the same is very much true in the UK as well. So it's a very good point. So where would you go from there? Do you think there are certain categories of products which are really an opportunity in Germany right now?
Well, there are some things you need to know that, for example, like just that's a category thing. For example, it's hard to get into the supplement niche right now because it's closed for new sellers in Germany. I don't know how it is in America. But other parts are still really interesting. I think the games, like board games and stuff like that, is still really interesting. But mainly all the big niches, it's the same ones that you guys have. It's the garden outdoor thing. It's the sports thing, the kitchen stuff, all those, the pet stuff. So those are all interesting still in Germany. And they have the big sellers in there.
Great. Okay. So a lot of this stuff is the same, although the infamous supplements area, I mean, I would probably warn anyone off going into supplements in America anyway, because it's such a dirty game. I mean, it's also, you're going to spend a fortune on advertising. But anyway, so at least you can't even do that in Germany. I think that's quite a good thing, especially for new sellers. I mean, so if you're taking it from there and just doing the research, bearing in mind that the BSR could mislead you, you've got to look at the actual numbers, but you can afford to go for bigger niches. Tell me about reviews in Germany. Do you think that, let's compare it with the UK, and maybe that's not a market that everyone knows, but would you say that there are fewer reviews for products which have done similar numbers of sales in Germany compared to America or the UK? And what's that about? What does that tell us as sellers?
Even the UK, actually, I found that the UK is pretty similar to American market. While the sales might be as low as in Germany, the reviews and the amount of other sellers are a lot higher. I found that the English market in Europe is the less attracting one, at least for me. It seems like all the American sellers are already selling also in England or something like that, because their language barrier is not there. It's just a feeling I have. So the review numbers will be a lot lower for maybe products that sell the same amount.
Yeah, so reviews being lower in England, it's interesting what you're saying about American sellers selling in England, I think, or the UK, I should say. To a degree, that's probably true. I mean, certainly the language barrier is one of those things that puts people off, I think. So having lower reviews for the same number of sales is very, very attractive on the face of it. So let's talk about that next area. Let's assume you go to Germany. I guess the next thing you're going to do once you've found a niche where the sales volume is good, the number of reviews looks okay, then you're going to look at, you know, creating a listing. So tell us about that side of things. I mean, you've already touched on the idea that just translating things isn't enough. And I've talked to Nadine Eich from Enida about that. So presumably you know Nadine a bit. So tell us a little bit more about what you think you need to do to create a listing in Germany. You say, again, assuming you're an American seller, but I guess it's the same for a UK-based seller, more or less.
Yeah, the thing is how we handle it as well with our clients is that we instead of just looking at the keywords, we start with really translating the English listing for the German market with the German customer in mind. And we don't really, at that point, we don't really think about the keywords. We just translate the whole listing with the customer in mind. So we do a good sales copy. And then in the second part, after that, we start to look for the most important keywords, 10, 15, and then put them in the listing. So we turn it the other way around. And I think that's very important because that's mainly what I see. Either the translation is really bogus. I don't know if they actually did a Google Translate or where they get it from. Or it's really just translated by a professional translator maybe, but he doesn't really know Amazon, and he really doesn't know how to do sales copy. So that you need to know as well. So that's kind of the heart of it all.
Yeah, and I think that's it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it does make sense that just because you got a certain keyword that people are searching on in America, that doesn't mean they're going to be searching on the translated equivalent of it in Germany. And by the way, if you go from America and try and sell products in the UK, you really should do fresh keyword research as well, because just because people use the same keyword in the US and it means the same thing in the UK doesn't mean that's what people actually look for. So I think that's a very, very good important point about the keywords. And then, yeah, the sales copy thing, that's a whole different thing. And I spoke to Dana Derricks recently, who's really was kind of going the opposite way to what we're talking about today, which is helping UK sellers selling the very aggressive market in the US. And he's saying, look, you need to be very sales. You need to be very aggressive with your copy. And you need to think about actual proper copywriting with, you know, benefits and reasons to take action. What would you say are the differences between that kind of copy in America and to some extent the UK and what you need for a German consumer? What's their difference? How do we treat them differently?
Yeah, for sure you will need benefits as well. Always think of the benefits, but keep down the American really loud marketing voice and tone it down a little bit, because the Germans, that would make them a little bit... actually, I think it would stop them from buying because they would get a little bit weirded out by it. I don't know how to say that properly. And they would think you really hardly want to sell them something. So that's really the American way, which is good, but it doesn't work so good in Europe and especially in Germany, where the people are really technician. They would like to know the details as well, and they don't want to go overboard with the sales copy.
I think you've touched on a very, very important point there, which I think... And Britain, as ever, is always a hybrid between, you know, the central, you know, what we call Europe, i.e. continental Europe. And yeah. In Britain, we still call it Europe, even though it's 35 miles away. It's absolutely insane. But this is the mentality. So for any UK listeners, the Americans you need to treat with more aggression and just more shoving it in your face and being very obvious about benefits, because they are used to, they've had a culture of over 100 years of advertising. Yeah. And you need to really focus on benefits and features. The technical details are just a little thing for the skeptical people who need a bit more convincing that you actually are telling the truth about your benefits. Whereas my entire experience of Germany, I did a gap year in Germany. I studied out there in my early 20s. So I have some experience of the culture, and they are very, very much into detail to a level that an English person would find strange and an American would probably just not understand. I mean, it's a detail-oriented culture. It's like everybody's an engineer under the surface. So I think the whole, you know, the features and the precise technical detail is something that I've noticed that Germans are very, very keen on. And German buyers in Amazon that I've spoken to will ask questions that I haven't got a clue about, and you have to keep going back to the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So I think that's one very important point you've made there.
And for sure.
Any other thoughts about the German consumer mindset in general that you think we should know about?
Yeah, that's also the thing. Like, I think you summarize this pretty good, because what will happen is, of course, it's the same thing. They come on the listing, they have a look at the bullet points, they skim read it. But there will be a lot of people who actually have a really close look and then look at the product details and really think about the product. And then what's really interesting is after this, if they actually bought it, they will want your product must be 100% perfect, because that's just how they go into it. So if they buy something, it has to be perfect. It can't be the half deal. It can't be just 80% perfect, because then they will leave you a review and they will tell you that it's not good. But if it's really good, you probably never hear from them. So that's
I guess the sad truth is for most people that we never hear from people who are happy. And you know, to be honest, as an Amazon buyer, I'm always buying stuff on Amazon, random things at the moment, because it's incredibly hot. As at the time of broadcasting, it's about 32 degrees here in London, which is just really unusual. It's hotter than Barcelona in Spain, which is crazy, because I went to Barcelona last summer with my fiance and it was hot. But I just bought random Amazon purchasing number 1000. It was a fly screen, you know, to stop mosquitoes coming in. There's no way I'm interested enough to take the time to give somebody a review, to be honest. But if it really didn't work and my girlfriend kept me up half the night screaming at me because she got bitten by 10 mosquitoes, I probably would leave a review. So that's the nature of the beast. One thing, I think I cannot emphasize enough what you just said. A friend of mine who's a UK-based seller said that he had more returns in Germany from one product line than he had in the same product line in America, although his sales in America are like 10 times bigger. So you really cannot afford to annoy a German consumer. And I think the sorts of compromise between the amount of money you pay and the product quality, it, to some extent, you get unrealistic shoppers at the lower end of the scale anyway in all countries. And they're normally the ones who get angry with you. But the chances of that happening in Germany, my experience so far, and I've only sold, you know, a few product lines in Germany, but are much higher. So I would really encourage anyone, if you've got a cheap product that kind of does okay, but has got 3.5-4-star reviews in America, please don't take it to Germany, because you will have a miserable time.
Yeah, that's a good summary, actually.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated, because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups, so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited, because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.